order the July Beacon Hill Architectural Commission session. The first item in the agenda is the litigation matters we need to discuss. So we need to meet in executive session, and the purpose of this executive session will be pursuant to the open meeting law, Massachusetts General Law Chapter 38, Section 21A, is to discuss strategy for ongoing litigation involving this commission. Specifically, the matter that we need to discuss is the American Meteorological Society versus the Beacon Hill Architectural Commission. Meeting in open session will have a detrimental effect on the commission litigation position. We will reconvene after the open session, and the first order we need to do is we need to get a roll call if we can go in a separate session. We need to all vote. Commissioner Santos? Miguel Rosales, aye. So if you could please leave the room and then come back.
We'll reconvene and we'll...
We're ready to come back in.
We expect this will probably be about 10 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes.
Sorry.
Yes.
Don't worry, oh, you're here, that's fine.
Good afternoon.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Are you with?
So she is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry.
So let's. We should have everyone's name who's here.
Yes.
Feels.
Sean Chen, Assistant Corporation Counsel, Law Department.
Nick O'Neill, Assistant Corporation Counsel, Law Department. And.
Hi, I'm Katie Martin. I'm a legal attorney
for
the Law Department.
Great. It's all yours.
Great. Thank you all for meeting with us. We're here, as the commissioner mentioned, or the chair mentioned, to discuss the current pending lawsuit, the American Meteorological Society versus your commission. I know this was the result of a decision at your April 18th meeting regarding the work at the rear of 45 Beacon Street, where there were five different parts of the application, four of which were approved, one of which is the subject of the litigation, which was not, which is the...
I think it's the place called Spruce Place.
Spruce Place, yes. Yeah. The building is a 45 Beacon, but you're absolutely right. The work is taking place in the rear of the building, which abuts Spruce Place. And the matter that was denied without prejudice at the April 19th meeting, or April 18th meeting, excuse me, was the installation of an asphalt berm along the rear of the, I believe it's the carriage house. The owner of that building appealed that decision to Superior Court, citing for five different reasons. And we wanted to give you an update as to where that matter stands currently, and then go into a little bit of our just kind of thinking on where what we should do on your behalf as your counsel. Want to talk to you about that. So there were basically five reasons they said that the decision should be overturned. Two of which are jurisdictional. They say that the commission didn't have jurisdiction. We think that we have a fairly strong position on that, but that's not the case. One of which they brought up, I believe this was discussed either at the April meeting or at a prior meeting. It was also on the same application. That there is a prior remedial order in place to undertake this work by your commission. They assert in their complaint that the work in the remedial order, which says they have to reinstall a berm not to exceed a certain height, they assert that means they had to reinstall the exact same type of berm, which was at the time asphalt. There was, and then there's the two last claims they bring are that the decision is arbitrary and capricious, which is that the reasons are unwarranted by the decision, or sorry, the reasons are, decision is unwarranted by the evidence or insufficient at law. And then the last one is that the decision is insufficient on its face, meaning that the commission did not for any reasons at all. I think from our discussions on this, I think that the first three counts, we have fairly defensible legal arguments. We're more troubled by the last two, I think, from our view of both the minutes of both of the meetings as well as the notice of decision. There were not particularly clear reasons presented as to why that particular berm should not be approved. To kind of counter in the face of evidence that was presented to the commission, such as I think there was a historic preservation.
Right, their contractor, their mason.
Testified. There was someone from Historic New England that said similar, essentially concurred with that opinion, and the Beacon Hill Civic Association withdrew its opposition. And I know that there was the staff recommendation to approve. So I think we want to talk to you about kind of where we go forward with that. We spoke to the chair about this on Tuesday in preparation for today's meeting.
And so I think the way we try to look at this is what paths the legal department can take, or what paths, you know, let's seek guidance from you, the commission, to see like what paths are available to us and lay down options. Now, we spoke to the chairperson, and there is a couple of paths. One is right now, because it's been denied without prejudice, we've approached the opposing party and asked them, you know, if they're willing to reapply for the asphalt burn, and they said no, they're not going to come back. They said they came back already once, essentially twice, if you think about it, right? But one, and they expect that they came back a second time, this time around, it will be denied as well. I know there are some suggestions we spoke about the other day about maybe having an asphalt berm that doesn't exceed a certain height. But that's, you know, something that
shorter,
we could,
like shorter than had been presented, right, in their most recent application.
Right, and that's after repointing the bricks, which already has been approved, you know, if they were willing to come back and maybe have an asphalt berm that, you know, it's much shorter, a shorter asphalt berm.
Potentially just like one brick high, I believe was what you were discussing.
I mean, this is the condition now. And, you know, they need to repoint the brick because they lowered the grade and there's a lot of holes now. It's exposed and they're getting the water condition. So when I went to see it again recently, I feel like if they would just repoint the brick and do a very shallow asphalt berm, it would be sufficient.
Keep water off
the building. And, you know, they could do something at the beginning of Spruce Plate, there is this berm. So they could do something similar to that, and it's very shallow. There is a precedent already in the same area. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, if they were willing to submit an application with something like that and saying they're going to match what it exists, you know, at the beginning of the street, I think it would be amenable to approve it. Because, you know, once they restore the brick and, you know, repoint and fill all the gaps, it should be okay. You can just deflect the water slightly. Yes, it's not, you know, because right now they have a little indentation here, you know, there is a recess, so they can already leave it like that, but that's going to make, you know, a little wider there.
So what's the height of the berm?
This one, I would say it's about like one brick height, you know, the one that would work. They wanted something much bigger, and I think that was one of the objections we had. But I think if they match something that already exists that seems to be working okay, right, I would say that's acceptable.
Right. And this is a stone.
Yes, this is granite, but the berm is asphalt.
Right, yeah. Asphalt berm.
So this is our other commissioner. Yep.
How was it outlined? Oh.
We're in executive session.
Okay, great.
Okay. So would you repeat what your suggestion is?
So that's that's something that we could go back to opposing counsel and see if they're willing to reapply using the commissioner's suggestions here about having a berm that's about one brick high.
Mm-hmm. And you could show them this example. You know,
and I think to that end, though, I think that we are unclear whether or not, I think we're in a bit of a tough situation. Because without a vote from the commission on an application, they were really a vote period, I guess I should say. The opposing counsel was very clear they were not interested in coming back. They kind of, I think they used the phrase, unless you can guarantee to me that this that a new application we approved, we have no interest in coming back with this type of, without, you know, we just want to proceed with the litigation.
I mean, could we take like an informal vote here now?
I think we can certainly try to understand your general preferences, but without it being binding, which you aren't able to do, like we wouldn't be able to represent to them potentially in a way that would be sufficient for them.
Are you up to speed on what?
I remember this.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I mean, basically, yeah, I what I'm, okay. You know, what I'm saying is that.
Yeah,
I
think
voted.
But you're okay. So.
Right.
Yeah. What I'm just saying is that they could do something similar to what we have at the beginning, and just make it, you know, thinner, and that should be sufficient. So.
We'll just do it for one. Just the height of one for one course.
And even if we suggest, we can't make any representations to them, even if we suggest for them to go and reapply for this, there's no guarantees that they're gonna accept this option for them to go forth. And they might still wanna continue this litigation, which leads us to path number two, which is just to defend the litigation. Now, I think, you know, what our analysis behind this with Nick and I is that we are put in a tough spot to fight this tooth and nail, essentially, is, you know, I think the first 3 points that Nick said is true. We do have legitimate defense for the first three,
Well, I mean, in general, I mean, if they say that they are not willing to come back, you know, with the application, I think that there is the present that, you know, as is not the best solution for, you know, this kind of condition. I mean, They changed this completely, and they put asphalt and they put this granite kind of veneer, but that's really not, you know, what is in the rest of Beacon Hill. So I mean, there is definitely a precedent that doing a, you know, high asphalt berm is not in the guidelines. I mean, if you look at the guidelines, nowhere it says that, you know, we would, yeah, it's never, you know, it's never really acceptable. So that's, you know, that's one point that you could, you know,
yeah,
emphasize, and I think that. So we don't think it's arbitrary because granite curbs are traditional in Beacon Hill. You know, it's not like we are saying put a stainless steel or put a material that is alien to the district. I mean, there is years of present of using granite because it's a very good material. It lasts in the winter. You know, it was available in New England. You know, it's used in the steps. It's used in the foundations of the buildings. It's used in the curbs of the streets.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of precedent.
And so I want to be very clear. When we're saying this, like, we are not saying that it actually was arbitrary. Legally, the reason why this is problematic is because the record that the court is going to be looking at does not have those reasons spelled out.
Right.
So,
did you check the first meeting minutes of the first time they came?
Yes. So I have them here. It won't. Even if it does say a number of reasons in the first meeting minutes, the decision is based on the second hearing. Because they amended it, they came back, they presented other options. So it really, the minutes for the second, and they do reference the second or the first meeting minutes, and we can certainly bring that up. But I think this is kind of what the last portion of this we want to talk about, and I can jump to it now, is just for future decisions where it is potentially more contested like this, it's very important to kind of state on the record, make sure that the minutes say what the reasons are, try to tie those reasons to the language of the standards criteria or the statute, and really delineate why this you are making the decision that the commission is coming to. Not that there isn't reason for the decision you made in this circumstance, I totally believe that there is, but legally, kind of what is discussed and laid out is not what's important. It's really what is written down and what people stated at the time. So I think that's kind of where, that just going forward, that would be best practices.
Well, if we were all in agreement that what Miguel described would be acceptable and approved by the commission, how do we best forward or something like that, you know.
Well, I mean, like I explained before, I mean, to me, this is not a huge issue. I mean, if it can be resolved out of litigation, it's better. You know, it's not, we have many more difficult cases than this one. So.
And we're certainly happy to do that. I just don't know if they are.
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, for them, it's a lot of expense and time, and they haven't done any repairs yet.
Yeah.
And in the meanwhile, you know, the facade is falling apart. The water is coming into the basement, I'm sure. It's in very bad condition. So it's really in their best interest to proceed, mm-hmm. at least with the repointing, which is already approved.
Yeah.
Think I would just say, I think we would not want to be specific to say one brick course. We should probably say an actual dimension, or, you know, approximate dimension, just because the courses are so irregular. Along there,
right. I would say like 2 inches.
There's the one, yeah, had like over a course of a long, yeah. like 18 yeah. feet or something.
Yes.
Calls that right?
Right. Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I would say like 2 inches.
But it was like a 2-inch sort of variation
yeah.
over 18 feet or something.
Yeah. I mean, it's depth yeah. and it staggers. Yeah. So if we said one brick course, I think that would get them confused.
I would say 2 inches.
Okay. So, and I think to that end, Sean and I were discussing this before the meeting. We think, and we wanted to kind of discuss this with you, Joe, but our understanding of what we will be able to present to the opposing council is not that we would be able to say, this is the project that could be approved, bring this before the board, because we can't represent that, because you haven't voted on approving a particular project. What we can say is, our understanding is the board is amenable to a shorter berm. Perhaps you should speak with the staff, and they can explain how a berm would look that would be potentially appropriate. So it would kind of be like you would be able to say this is what the kind of thing that the commission is looking for as a general matter.
Mm-hmm.
And they hopefully will understand that means that the commission would most likely approve that type of
yep. Okay.
Firm.
Yep.
So did it come back to the commission or does it? I mean,
it has to come back.
They still have to come back.
No.
No.
Yeah, we couldn't do it as an administrative
right.
item. I had to have a hearing.
No, because there's no application pending before the board.
No, they have to come back. I mean, they would save a lot of time and money if they come back. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you go to Superior Court, it don't take months.
Yeah.
I mean, just to schedule a hearing will take.
Yeah.
We understand that.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing,
yeah.
I just want to throw this out too. We do have a few pending nominees to the commission. So, you know, we have,
right.
you know, we have
is
four people
right,
right here.
I
don't think she's
no.
going to be.
Okay. All right. I ran into her in a coffee place.
Oh, okay.
But.
Yeah. But that's going to, you know, we're going to have, that's going to fold in a whole additional
absolutely.
Group of people.
And I think
that's
precisely the reason why we can't go to the opposing council and say this.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep.
Because
right.
the commission only approves something when the commission approves it.
Well, I think, you know, you could end it sooner the better.
Okay,
so.
Sounds good.
Right, and even if we, like you said, even if we offer that, we don't know what the reasons that they decide they want to go to Superior Court and litigate this, who knows, right? We could sit here and try, you know, you and I would say it's not the best course of action, the best use of resources, but.
Well, I mean, I think if it goes, you know, if it gets to that point, we can reconvene again and try to help you know, further. If that's, you know, if that's what's going to happen.
Okay.
But let's try to see if, you know, they can come back.
That sounds good. In terms of the next steps for us, we're going to be answering their complaint next week. We've been working with Joe to kind of get full understanding of what happened, get all the facts, submit them. And so that's going to be going next week. And then after that, we'll most likely what's going to happen is they're going to, I mean, we will certainly be speaking with them, opposing counsel, and they will start serving us with discovery requests for documents. They would not, I don't believe, they wouldn't be able to actually bring any of you in, but they would for Joe, and any of the commission's overall, any of your documents that Joe has.
Emails, yeah.
Emails,
if there are any emails we have discussing this.
Shouldn't it be 2.5 inches or 2 3/4 inches? I mean, this isn't the 2 inches, where did it come from?
Well, I mean,
well,
you know, if you see,
no.
you see this dimension?
No, I understand.
I think we want to say approximately.
Well, you know, I mean, if they come back, they're going to need to provide a drawing anyway. So
if there's like a 2-inch grade change,
there's a berm along the entire.
I mean, I would say, you can say, you can show them an example too.
I would think that's, you know, that's a standard dimension, if you will, of a masonry coursing, brick masonry coursing, to apply these to a brick water, and that covers the water structure as well. So then at least we're in that realm.
Yeah, you
could say like 2 inches or
something. Two and a half inches then.
You know what I mean? It sounds like
I would say the minimum that they can get away with.
So, what are we going to say?
I would say 2.5 inches.
2.5 inches, okay.
Minimal or maximum?
Approximately.
Approximately 2.5, that way if it's...
Approximately 2.5.
We want it to be the minimum possible, approximately 2.5 inches, I would say. To appropriately shed water.
Okay. And you're going to communicate to...
We will suggest, we will not
assert.
We will not represent that the commission
appears as though
right.
The commission is
exactly. Because
would be amenable to
we don't want them to come back with a 2.5 inch berm and somehow not comply to your thoughts behind that and lock in that. Absolutely. So in that way, if they discuss with Joe, Joe could take a look at it and...
Well, application we need to come to Joe first.
Right.
Okay. All right, well, thank you.
I appreciate your time.
So we'll need to make a motion to go back into open session.
Yep. They have a motion to go back into open session.
Second that.
Okay.
In a roll call.
Yep. Weinberg, sorry.
We're doing a roll call vote.
Commissioner Santos. Commissioner Donnelly.
Great. Thank you.
So there are four pending appointments to the commission?
We have at least four new ones coming on. Yeah, but they're not, they haven't been sworn in yet and officially gone through the background check.
That could give you weeks.
And what areas are they coming from, if you will?
Well, Historic New England has an alternate. We have the Boston Society of Architects. The Civic Association and the Greater Boston Realty Board.
Is the Realty Board for
it should be.
For my alternate?
Yes.
Yeah.
Could be tomorrow, it could be September.
But they haven't done the...
I think you're...
They haven't done the background.
They told me that.
Okay, I think we should. Our first.
Are we ready?
Yes.
81 Beacon Street?
Yes.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Welcome. Good. If you would state your name for our record.
Yes, Luigi Altieri. I'm a project manager for DPRO Construction.
Great. And explain the scope of work.
They're requesting the bars be removed from the windows from the property. Underneath the windows is the old storms, which you can see on the second floor. If those need to be removed to bring it, you know, up to standards, but right now the storms are underneath the bars. There's a U-channel that's bolted to the trim of the windows. Simple bolt, they gotta be unscrewed, and the bars can be removed. There's no leftover, as you can see right here, all the bolts are bolted right to it. So there's nothing in the brick, nothing that's gonna, you know, somebody put them back or whatever. It's like once you take them off, they're off.
And it's a second story only.
And it's just that second story, correct.
The white ones,
yes. Right. Yeah. Patch and repair, historical colors for the paint, and
You match the same
excuse
color?
Excuse me?
You'll match the same color, the current color?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
And that will be repairs to the...
because there'd be a hole.
Yeah, if the trims are rotted, we would replace the trim and bring it back to its original.
Patch everything.
Yep.
And paint it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's good to take the grates out.
Yeah, it doesn't do it justice.
And it's very strange that they are white.
Right. Yeah.
Do you have anything else to add?
No. It's pretty simple. It's like I said, that you know, most of those windows and as you can see in
so there are the four of them.
There's actually 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Right.
Okay. Do you have any comments from the public? Okay.
Sure. Staff comments? Staff recommends approval with provisos finding that the proposed work will restore the rear elevation to its original appearance. However, staff should confirm that masonry and wood trim are repaired appropriately following removal. And we understand that there'll be no masonry work involved right. with this.
Okay. Any discussion? Do you have a motion? I think we should have the proviso that staff recommended.
Yes, so I'll make that. My motion is that we approve it as submitted with staff to confirm that the wood trim is repaired appropriately.
Yeah, and matching the same color.
Matching the same.
Okay. So, Commissioner Banker?
Aye.
Commissioner Santos?
Aye.
Commissioner Donnelly?
Aye.
Great.
Thank you. Good approval.
Thank you. I'll send you out a letter, but I'll send that out tomorrow, so you can do it tomorrow or Monday or over the weekend.
Thank you. Have a nice weekend.
123 Pigney Street? 123. Or 97 Charles Street?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Dan Brennan. I handle permits for Starbucks. Just here today to change the blade sign coloring. We had a corporate officer that was touring the stores, and he noticed this blade sign. He said that the trademark colors, they're very firm on wanting to keep the mermaid siren white. Mm-hmm. So. All we want to do is switch out the blade sign. We'll still keep it a wood carved, raised carved sign.
You know your current one is not wood.
Say again?
The current one is not wood. You know that.
The current one's not wood?
No.
Oh.
But you'll make it wood.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. But it's not here on the yellow.
Yeah, it wasn't shown that way in our original proposal.
You had the shop drawing though. Can you show us that? So the same size
and you're making 18 inch diameter
and you are keeping you're keeping the same bracket.
Yep. Originally we were going to switch out the bracket, okay. But in discussions with Joe it was more favorable just to leave that alone so the masonry is not touched.
It seems in good condition. I mean, if you want to paint it maybe for the rust, but it looks good.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else to add?
No, sorry.
Do you have any comments from the public?
Does the business association agree that it should be a wooden sign and the colors can change the grid of light? You just ask that the walnuts would sign, which is also green gold
and green gold.
Like,
change the color into white? Yeah. Okay, we could do that.
We didn't have an application.
We didn't have an application for that, but if you want to change...
You could make that part of a proviso if you wanted to.
Do you want to change this lettering to white?
If that's something that wasn't our proposal, but if that's something that makes it look better to you guys, then you can.
Look better. It's all the same. Yeah. Okay, we can put it as a proviso. Joe, do you have any?
Sure, yeah. Staff recommends approval with provisos, finding that the proposed change of color from gold to white is not inconsistent with the commission's guidelines. However, the new sign must be hung from the existing bracket, match the dimensions of the existing sign, and be made of carved wood. So I would put that in your proviso since the original application did state all of that.
Okay.
So we'll basically just be making those letters white?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So you can match the same color.
Yeah.
Any discussion, any comment? Okay, do you want to do a motion? Can we do it?
Good, sure. Okay. We approve the application as submitted with the provisos that the sign is in fact carved wood and that the...
keep the bracket?
That they maintain and utilize the same bracket and that the NAM sign lettering be changed to white to match what's on the sign.
Banker, Commissioner Banker?
Aye.
Commissioner Santos?
Aye.
Commissioner Donnelly?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Joe.
Sure, you're welcome.
107 Chestnut Street.
And we're going to do this one together, this to explain how we ended up here. But if you would state your name.
Thank you. I'm Gene Platt, representing 107 Chestnut Street, which is a 5-unit condominium on the foot of Chestnut Street. And we are in the process of renovating unit number 2. And the building doesn't have gas service, and so we've been in the process of trying to obtain that. And one of the subcontractors came to us and said there needed to be an intermediate shutoff valve, which actually turned out to be misinformation. So our application included a photograph of the only sort of exterior gas shutoff we could find, which the gas company put in some years ago. And then we got correspondence from the engineering department that said, as discussed, the proposed gas line will be serving your home will be a service line that operates at a pressure less than 10 pounds per square inch. Therefore, your service line is exempt from the excess flow valve installation. So,
good.
Yes, yeah. We're grateful for that. And so the conclusion is that the only visible hardware necessary would be the standard 6-inch.
Right, and you even can see that here. But this is what we thought it was going to look like.
Yeah.
And the better photo, we thought it was going to be located over here.
Right.
But it's going to be on the brick then?
We're not sure.
Yeah,
right?
I've been, I don't know if any of you dealt with National Grid recently, but there's some communication issues, but I know that they're busy with all the problems with that. So it hasn't been determined whether it goes in the sidewalk or the street. The one at 109 Chestnut Street, this is my wife Meredith, who's a co-applicant with me. The service at 109 actually, which is an adjoining building and recently put in gas service, has that's the photograph of the one at 109. So the presumption is that they're going to do for 107 what they did for 109, but I can't speak for the
I mean, in general, it would be better if you don't penetrate this part of the facade and you put on the sidewalk. I think that would be much better.
Oh, it's not going on the building at all.
Okay.
I don't know. It's either, the question is whether it goes in the sidewalk or the street.
Okay. So, I mean, will he come back or he will say something?
My recommendation is that you approve it with the proviso that staff approves the final location of it. And my sense is it'll probably end up, they're all in the sidewalk going down, so that's probably where it will end up.
Okay. Is there any comments from the public?
Okay. You approve?
Yeah.
Okay.
Joe's been very helpful in the process.
They're a very nice building, by the way.
Yes, we're excited to move in. Yeah.
Okay, so do we have any motion?
I move that we approve it with the proviso that it's on the sidewalk or partial on the plan.
Commissioner Banker?
Second.
Okay.
Aye.
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 Good. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That is
103 Pinckney Street.
Hi. So, Joe Macy with Coley Masonry. So the first thing I'm looking to discuss is the second floor. Basically, it's a second means of egress slash access for the roof deck.
This is an image. We're talking about this spot right here, and that's the visibility from Market Street. There's your close up.
So over time, the window has degraded, but one of the biggest concerns for the client is that it's a safety concern because the step down is too large. And what I'm looking to do is lower that approximately 16 inches, exactly 13 sixteenths, so just shy of 3/4, just larger than 3/4. And in doing that, we would still use the original sill and everything else. We would just make a cut in the brick and lower it down. So I'm looking to extend it exactly one length, just so it's more, you know, user-friendly. It's going to be safer, but everything else is going to get replaced in kind.
So do you have a photo of the existing conditions again?
Does this match the other window here?
No.
No, so that's more or less like a French door. It's a mini French door, basically.
But the opening matches.
The same side.
So it used to be a window.
Yeah, well, a double hung window.
Yeah.
It used to be the one. And then they make it into a door.
Somebody did, yeah, along the way. And I think it might have been more of a means of egress.
Is that an egress issue? Is that a second means of egress?
Yeah, that's how they get out. Or, yeah, that's the second means.
Do you have anything else to add?
Regarding this? No. The next thing I was looking to do would be replace the storm windows and make them all black opposed to black and white, so they'll match and uniform.
And that's under the admin items?
And you mean these storm windows here, or where are the storm windows?
All the storm windows on the back. So everything you see in that photo right there.
So repeat again, do you have a drawing of that?
Of the storm window?
Yeah.
It's we're using a Harvey storm window. For some reason, I can't get like a legitimate cut sheet for you. They sent me to their website, and I sent it to Joe, but it's really not that formal, to be honest with you. I've actually tried several times to get one. So basically what I can do is I can do a drawing for you, just like I did for the window that I'll be fabricating if it's permitted. And it's your basic true channel RB window that's been accepted for years for you guys.
Yeah, you emailed me a cut sheet, but not an exact one.
Exactly, it wasn't.
What's happening on the level of above?
You're replacing these ones, no?
Yes, all the storms that you see in that.
Yeah, you're going to have one above the window to the left.
These one?
No, the one.
This one?
That one. Is that an egress as well?
Is that an egress? Yeah, that's.
Is that a window or is that a door?
That's a window.
It's a window.
I think that's a 2/2 window. Right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of strange. And you can't, that one you can't, I don't think you can see from Myrtle Street.
Well, I mean, you know, you can use a window as an egress.
You can.
It doesn't need to be a door. And then what is
also access to a deck.
That is correct.
So, an ideal world aren't using a window.
They already have a door, though.
No, I know that, yeah.
Is anything else in the application, or is it only the storm windows and the what else are you applying for?
Yeah, that's what's in the application.
Okay. Any comments from the public? Can you come to the front because it's very hard to hear you.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
we ask that you follow the guidelines, not enlarge the openings, as it is a window that matches the window next to it, and that other solutions could be to like raise the deck or like fire balcony that's there to be the same height as the windows and that's a level access out.
Okay. Any other comments?
You live next door, but you're not doing anything.
Oh, wait, could we have your name, please? We need you.
I'm Rob Sony. This is my wife, Fiona Sony. You may have known me 20 years ago. So I said, you're not doing anything with the stairs or the other deck, just this little where Melissa, I think Melissa comes out.
That's it. The only thing that we'll probably have to end up doing is just adjusting her steel step. It's really degraded, so we'll probably replace that. So which is basically the landing, that part right there. We'll probably replace that, but just in kind of, there's no deck modification whatsoever.
So you're proposing to replace these two?
Well, it's pretty deteriorated. It wasn't something that was in my original scope of work, but the...
Was that black wrought iron at one point?
Yeah.
It's just like rusted out.
Sure. Yeah. Staff recommends approval with provisos, finding that the applicant should explore restoring this window back to its original appearance and creating a new access through the wood-framed addition that will not be visible from Myrtle Street. So that was my question, if you could do...
Yes. Yeah, so,
I don't know what's
so
going
there,
on
there's here. A, if you go back to your other picture, if you could, please. Okay, so right here, that's the first floor's kitchen skylight, and that's really the only point where I could actually create that. So, without like some serious renovation, not that possible.
Nope. And nothing out the side. Oops. That side there.
Yeah, how about
what's
here?
Behind? What is in that room? Yeah.
That's the bathroom. So that's where the sink is.
Okay.
But you know, in general, the guidelines.
I'll finish my.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
All right. So, if alternatives not visible from Myrtle Street are not possible, then this change should be approved because this window has been altered and this change will have a minimal visual impact on this area of the district. Furthermore, the existing sill will be retained, allowing the window to be restored to its original appearance in the future.
But he's not proposing that. He's proposing to cut the brick.
Right. Cut the brick, but keep the sill. I'm gonna reuse the sill. I'm gonna reuse as much of the original fabric as I possibly can.
And then how high above it? How high above it?
Well, I'm not going higher.
No, I'm talking about the sill height as it relates to the deck.
Well, he's dropping it 16 inches to make it like a safer step.
Yeah.
I mean,
it'd be right around a six-inch step.
It's a six.
I mean,
well, right now it's 2 feet, so it's a little bit of a jump.
I mean, I don't find justification to alter the facade of the building for this condition. I mean, you already have a door, and if you just fix the steps, it should be okay. I mean, you're basically enlarging the facade of the windows.
So
and then if you look at, you know, maybe in the future, somebody would want to restore this as a window, and these were all windows. So you are altering more what is necessary.
So that's where we're at. The window's degraded, so it needs...
Yeah, but you could just replace it in kind and then fix the step.
Could you?
Well, so the inside, though, that's what's tough, is when you remember, you have the inside of the floor is much lower than the outside, so.
Yeah, but if it's a means of egress, you can use a window and there is a guidance about the height that it can be. You know, it's, we just had a discussion previously and we should follow the guidelines, and the guidelines doesn't allow to do openings on the facades of the buildings.
So are you saying that if I come back and I explore the option of enlarging the window,
no.
And I make it just a bigger window, double hung? No.
Well, no. What we're talking about, this is opening,
the
size.
The size of that opening.
The size of the opening.
Manipulating the masonry at all, that's Miguel's issue. Now, just a quick question, you know, because safety issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you put a step inside? So you step one
so,
step
so
up.
That, that's what they have
have
right now, but
yeah.
it goes in front of the bathroom door. So it's difficult for them to move around in there. So as it is right now, and it's a small step. You do, the bigger you go, the more in front of the doorway you go.
Right, yeah. And then from a commission standpoint, how how would people feel about letting them add a step on the outside?
Well,
yeah, so like basically where that bench is would be like step one, and then there's another step two, so it's like at least on the way out.
Could we make this step in wood?
Sure.
I mean, I think it, you know, if it's not masonry,
right? Well, that's what I mean.
Light.
Yeah, exactly. Correct.
Yeah, and you could paint it black,
so
and then paint everything black.
That, you know, again, that would certainly fall under like a minimally visible situation that would be within.
I mean, you have to repair this. This,
it's still
this
my problem on the inside that I have.
Yeah, but we're more concerned from the outside.
No, I know. I'm trying to come to like a whole resolution here, not a part.
Yeah, I just, you know, people will move, change. This deck might not be used in the future. You know, we have to take the long view. And altering the facade.
Decks are used in the future, right? I mean, people like to be outside.
What's the head height of the door, if you will, or the preservation?
On top of it. 7 inches.
Is it presently 70 inches?
No, 70 inches.
Yeah,
so it's a little under 6 feet.
That's the current.
It's existing.
Here's the.
Oh, it's less than 6 feet high. The door. As it presently exists.
I mean, I think you can resolve it with doing some changes in the outside and not alter the historic facade of the building.
Given how minimal that you see it.
Well, we always get the argument here, you know, it's a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here, a little bit there, and, you know, over time.
But it is a little bit.
Can we go back?
Is there still, I mean, it's just,
yeah. When we have, you know, we have very clear guidelines that we are not supposed to allow openings on facades unless there is like an overwhelming, you know, no resolution or the building is being improved. I don't see any improvement in this building. I mean, this is just like a temporary condition.
It's a safer means of egress, is what it
is. We're mainly concerned with the historic integrity of the district.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And I would contend that we're not compromising that too much, but by maintenance of maintaining the original sill, you're talking about taking out three rows of bricks, you know, or four by five bricks. I don't know. I mean,
Well, if you look at the facade of the building, it's going to look very strange because at least now, you know, they are all the same height. Now you're going to have
some. That's a fair point. Although because of everything in front of it obstructing it, it's not.
But the historic fabric is the most important part. I mean, those decks come and go. You know, I mean, you look at it, the long view, the historic fabric of the brick. Once you remove it, you cannot put it back. I mean, not easily. I mean, you know, you see the patch.
Yeah, but there is no patch going in, right? We're taking
away. No,
it's kind of very hard to go back. Once you alter the historic facade, it's very hard to, you know, it's like we have a granite base. Once you change the granite, it's very hard to put it back. So I see this in the same venue, and I think you can find a solution easily, you know, with a wood deck step, and repairing this, I think it's workable. We are not impeding you to access the deck.
The door is not code conforming. Then we put a step in, and we're supporting the idea of it being a door. And
well, then they could do a window too. Maybe they should put back to do a window.
And you could use the window as a second means of egress.
Yeah. Wow.
That makes it even more difficult.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
you're
doing everything I'm trying to do here.
Yeah. You know, I think that would be a valid solution. I think it would be okay to leave it as it is, just fix the step here at the bottom.
But you get a step on the interior, then you have a step on the exterior, new step on the exterior. You have a door, if you will, that's less than 6 feet.
Yeah, but again, you know, this is like a temporary condition.
No, that's temporary.
I mean, eventually the deck will be removed and changed. So.
Well, it's a 5/8 door now, which is not code compliant. If you're lowering it 16 inches, it would become a code compliant door.
Right.
So, I mean, again, from a safety and code standpoint, I think it makes sense that we can have.
perspectives on the, you know, the issue with the four rows of brick. It's obviously, you know, to vote, but, you know, it is pretty well constructed where I don't think it really throws off the visual design. It's pretty good if you
the door shouldn't be there.
Yeah, but I mean, now this is all, I mean, that's not the view. I mean, you see it. I mean, right now,
those,
I mean, this photograph
those,
is
those
like...
Those doors also closed, though, too.
I mean,
those aren't open all
this
the time.
This photo is misleading because it's like they're putting in shadow the facade of the building. I mean, I went to see it and you can see it. I mean, it's not, this is misleading.
Well, that's my photo and that's what it looked like when I went to see it. So
what was
yeah, but you know, if the sun is hitting it, you see it. It's visible.
Yeah, but I think that's facing north, isn't
what's
it?
What's the staff's recommendation?
Yeah. Staff's recommendation is that if there's no alternative out of the wooden structure, that it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I would just reiterate that, you know, you do have guidelines, but it's up to this commission to decide
right.
when it's appropriate to approve something that's inconsistent with the guidelines.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's appropriate in this case.
I mean, what we're doing, right? When it's the finished look, when we're done with it, it's gonna look better than it looks right now. I mean, we're going for.
I disagree.
So that look right there, with a makeshift wood step on top of a metal grate, that's also too low.
Well, it's not going to look better because you are making this. You're looking this much bigger, and you're altering the order of this facade.
Yeah, I mean,
so,
if it isn't that door, I think it should be as such, and it should be conforming. And it's been a door, if you will, a non-conforming position for some time, right?
Yeah, well,
and now, and there is a safety issue.
But then we should make it a window then.
You can make it a window, or you can make it a legitimate code-compliant door.
If you make it a window, then you're taking the safety factor and you're throwing it out the window, because that makes it more difficult.
Well, the windows are acceptable as a minimum ingress.
Yeah, but doors are...
That's a roof deck. Somebody uses that daily, weekly.
Well, if you want,
so
to use it, you want to keep the door, I will keep the door the same. I mean, we shouldn't be altering historic facades and opening bigger windows. We shouldn't be doing that. That's not in the guidelines, and I don't see justification here.
Well, I think you're making a point there.
You know, in a few years, probably they would not be there. And then we already altered the facade.
I would feel differently if this was a window and the deck wasn't here and we were saying we were going to lower this window
to create
a deck. But you have an existing condition that's sloppy.
And it's even less visible going down than it would be enlarging going up. I mean, we don't need to beat this to death, but if there's, you know, if we've had a discussion on it, then someone should make a motion and
part of the issue is changing from window to the door. Is that the issue?
No, I mean, we're looking at it. It's a door. It's currently a door. It's currently a door. Okay. It's a non-code compliant door, and there's all the concerns that have been referenced as to.
Yeah, I mean, they shouldn't have put a door to begin with.
Well, you know, again, that's a different situation. It's there, and it's certainly
then,
a safer.
And then because we have a door, we're going to try to make it worse. I mean, from the historic point of view, we were making it worse. So it's just, I don't feel acceptable. We should be caring about the facades of the buildings. I mean, that's what we're here for.
I agree. I just think that the tenor on this commission over a period of time now is to have zero flexibility on the guidelines when, having been on this commission for at least a decade, if not more, things like this have routinely, minute exceptions to guidelines or looser interpretations of guidelines have been commonplace. And I think this is one of those cases. That's my opinion. Again, I respect yours, and I disagree that, you know, I again take a lens to these applications as safety being the primary thing. And we have that with that school. Remember, we got into a little issue about the egress of that school, right? And you know, yes, was it slightly more visible? It was, but we're allowed some flexibility on the visibility and the extent thereof, and I weighed the safety component versus that increased visibility. So to me, this is a, you know, not as extreme, but in that realm, and I'm okay with this. But that's, you know, again, that's why we're going.
I don't know if it matters what we think as neighbors, but we don't oppose it.
What?
I don't know if it matters what we think as neighbors, but we don't oppose it.
Well,
I am concerned about the safety issue here, and the code. There are regulations that you just noted, but I'm, in this instance, we do have, this is a modification to the facade, but within the whole, I don't have a problem with it, you know, lowering the sill, other than the fact that it is not consistent with our regulations, right?
I mean, it just...
But I like the idea that it makes it code compliant, that it advances safety.
That's not our priority. Hmm? That shouldn't be our priority. Our priority should be the historic integrity of the district.
But we do have some...
I mean, that's really what we are here for.
I mean, I think the first item of the staff comment is there any opportunity in this, you know, wood addition to get out? Can't really tell from the same.
So do you have a plan?
If you go back.
Yeah.
So right here, this is the skylight right here for the first floor.
Yeah.
That goes in the kitchen. So this whole entire side, it's not.
But the side that you can't actually see.
So this side right here?
Yeah.
I mean, do you have it?
With an extreme renovation?
Yes.
It's a bathroom and there's a bathroom sink there.
Yeah, exactly. You, and basically,
against that wall.
Yeah.
I mean, do you have a plan
for the
inside of the building?
I can get a plan for the inside of the building. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't focused on something that.
No, I mean, we're looking. I mean, we're looking. There's another possibility. So.
I mean, so that bump out. That is the bathroom.
Yes.
So
this goes into a bedroom then?
That's a bedroom. Yeah.
The door is existing, though.
Yeah.
His grandfather.
But if it's going to be, if you're going to put in a new building, I don't know. Would they say you're making a change to it? You're not going to make a new building.
No, I think it'd be a replacement.
Because you know, I mean, otherwise you cannot do a lot of things. In order to be here, they are not compliant. So otherwise, you know, you'll have to start changing every single building.
But do you mean if you're just replacing it in kind?
Yeah, like for example, the stairs inside the houses in Beacon Hill, they are not compliant. But if you just keep them in kind,
but if you rebuild them, they would want you to build them.
No, they don't.
Yeah, you have to save a certain amount.
His grandfather, you know, like, for example, a lot of stairs in Beacon Hill, they are not code compliant. If you repair them and replace them in kind, they let you do it. It's only if you want to make a bigger staircase, then
and
you
then
have
it triggers the all that code.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, that's kind of semantics, right? That's not part of this. It really just comes down to, you know, four of our viewpoints on the alteration of that. What I would say is a very minimal amount of, you know, history going down.
I mean,
but the
that's,
you know, I understand what you're saying. And
at the end of the day, we're trying to.
The guidelines are fairly firm against the logic.
I mean, it's very clear that new openings from facade should not be allowed. So
I agree.
It's not a new opening. It's a very nominal expansion.
No changes have been made to existing window door openings.
Yeah,
It's in the guidelines.
Yeah.
It's very clear. So I'll do a motion to deny this application without prejudice, with the proviso that you can, if you want to come back and show a step and repairs, you know, in this area here, we'll be, you know, we could receive that application.
Yeah.
But I don't think we should allow to expand the opening of the window in the facade, in the historic facade, per the guidelines.
Yeah, that's all.
I'll second that motion.
Commissioner Bandu?
No.
Commissioner Santos?
Aye.
Commissioner Donnelly?
Aye.
Rosales, aye. If it doesn't pass, so you want to come back, you know, make another modification here, we'll be amenable to discuss that.
Sure.
Sorry about that.
No, no problem. Thank you.
Do we have any other case?
No, admin.
Any comments on the administrative? There was a comment from the Civic Association. I don't know if you saw that.
For 25 and 20, the Pinckney Street.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about that?
Yes. I just want to explain why 25 and 27 Pinckney Street were taken off the agenda. It was two applications for repair work, pretty straightforward repair work, masonry work, and there was a violation from ISD that it had to be done. And I met with the property owner, I met with the contractor, we were all in agreement how this work was going to be done. The contractor then contacted me. I was actually approved it, the permit as an emergency repair. The contractor contacted me before work was underway to say the property owner asked him to do work other than what was agreed upon. So I met with the property owner and the contractor, and we couldn't come to a conclusion that they were going to do the work as it was agreed on. So they will need to submit new applications. So we're all on the same page of how the work's going to
be. And that's what the association is talking about.
Yes, and I think I've been contacted by abutters and other residents who are concerned. The property recently sold, and it's going to be redeveloped. And I think there's just concern about what other work is going to take place there.
Okay. I went to see all the applications. I didn't see any. Okay, so do we have a motion to approve the administrative?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, Commissioner Bangor.
Aye.
Commissioner Santos. Commissioner Donnelly.
Aye.
Rosales. Aye.
Good. Thank you.
Do you have any?
We have minutes.
Minutes? I do you have any comments on the minutes?
Yeah, I was proposing
your side. Okay, I read it. They were not. I didn't see any comments. Well, I think in the future we should make sure we put the reasonings of.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and I think that's all part of commissioner training. And you know, when you're framing a motion, you should, you know. No, you don't have to use my words, but this is the type of framework to say, you know, it's approved finding a certain, you know, an explanation of why you're finding your motion or decision.
Because then it comes back to haunt us later. So we did the.
Do we have a motion?
Do we have a motion to approve the minutes? Commissioner Bangor?
Aye.
Commissioner Santos?
Aye.
Commissioner Donnelly?
Aye.
Rosales?
Aye. Good. Good. And for staff comments, I'll just say that we're hiring a new person who's starting on Monday, and she's going to stay for at least 25 years. At least. So we're going to still be in transition the next few months. So Nick will be working with Mary to get her up to speed on the South End. And Nick and I will be doing Beacon Hill next month, and then probably September will mostly be Nick, but I'll still be keeping some of the difficult ones that we've been working on. And then we also have quite a few new commissioner nominations who are pending. And as soon as those go through the mayor's office, they'll be, we'll hopefully have a pretty full commission.
Right, we won't be so desperate for a court.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Thank you all for coming, especially in the summertime.
Okay, so we make a motion to adjourn?
Yes.